In our text tonight, in John chapter 8, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, a group of religious people. Some of them were the strictest of the religious. And what he was telling them, he said, hey, you know, you guys read the scriptures, but you just go through the motions. You don't really belong to God. You're still a child of the devil. And notice what he said about the devil. He said, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth. And what Jesus was saying was, hey, the devil hadn't changed. Hadn't changed from the beginning. He was a murderer at the beginning, he's still a murderer. In the beginning, he was a liar, and he's still a liar. And so the two messages that I'm preaching today really go along together. Because this morning, we talked about how God has not changed. And the things that he's done for us as a church have not changed. And some of the things that we do as a church have not changed. Well, I'll just remind you tonight that the devil has not changed either. The same stripe that he had, the same devices that he used, his character has not changed since he made his first appearance on this earth. And so tonight, I just want to help you understand the adversary that we face a little bit better and point out three things. Number one, the devil hasn't changed in his character. Number two, he has not changed in the goals that he has. And number three, he has not changed in his methods. All right? So those three things. So number one, he has not changed in his character. The devil is still full of pride. You ever stop and think it was pride that got Satan kicked out of heaven? At one time, he was one of the archangels of God, one of the three. And his job was to protect the glory of God. He was a beautiful angel. He was an angel of music. And again, his was to proclaim and to protect the glory of the Father. But one day, the glory he was supposed to protect, he claimed for his own. In the book of Isaiah chapter 14, the Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And Satan in his pride said, "I will, I will, I will." And God said, "No, you won't. No, you won't." In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15, the verse after the three that I just read, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit." No wonder the Bible says that God hates pride because it was the first sin that was ever committed. That sin that was committed in heaven when Satan was cast out of heaven was the sin of rebellion that came out of a heart of pride. And I want to tell you something tonight. If an archangel could not get by with pride in his heart, I mean, you would think if you were one of the three archangels, you might have a right to be a little proud. There's only three of you. Only three. I mean, you're one-third of all of them that were created. And yet God said, "No, no, no, no. I don't want any pride. And Satan, because you have a heart full of pride, I'm going to cast you down from heaven." And he did. And a third of the angels were cast out with him. And if Satan couldn't get away with it, if one of the archangels couldn't get away with it, if Lucifer could not get away with it, then how do you think we can? We can't. Be awful careful when you get to thinking in your heart like old King Nebuchadnezzar did as he was walking around Babylon one day and looking at everything that he had made. And some of the things in Babylon, I think the Hanging Gardens at one time were one of the seven wonders of the world. And he was walking around, even though he had been warned by Daniel. And he was walking around and looking at everything that he had made. And he was just praising himself and said, "Hey, look at everything that I've done. Look at everything that I made. Look at how I have ruled and what my kingdom has been able to produce." And God said, "Okay, King, I need to teach you a lesson. I need to teach you that all good things come from me, and a heart full of pride will be brought down." And that was the time King Nebuchadnezzar lost his reason. He went to live among the animals for a period of time, for seasons, the Bible talks about. And the Bible says when he came to himself, at the end of those seasons, he realized that he was nothing and God was everything. And we need to remember that. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And you know, I don't understand why people just can't pay attention to the Bible. And when the Bible says, hey, be careful, because if you do this, this is what's going to happen. I just don't understand us why we just can't do what the Bible says instead of having to learn our lessons all the hard way. I just don't understand why we just can't pay attention to what God says. And God says, look, if you have pride in your heart and you have a haughty spirit, there's a fall coming and there's destruction coming. So why can't we just live our life knowing that everything comes from God and that we're nothing? We're nothing. We're His, but we're nothing on our own. So he's still filled with pride. Now, again, you're going to get confused if you're taking notes, because that was 1A. I don't want you to count 1, 2, 3 and say, oh boy, he's done. Now, 1B. I'm not going to tell you how many letters I got. I got 3 points. 1B, he's not only still full of pride, but 1B, he is still a liar. Hadn't changed. Still a liar. In the Garden of Eden, he caught Eve by herself. And he said, Eve, hadn't God said that you could eat every tree, the fruit of every tree? And Eve said, well, yeah, we can eat of every tree except for one. God said that when we eat that fruit, she actually added to the word of God, which, by the way, is never good. It's not good to take away or never not good to add to it. But she said, not only will we die if we eat it, but she made a statement, we'll die if we look at it. Now, God didn't say that. And by the way, it's still wrong to add to the word of God today. Don't need to add to it. And Satan said, well, hey, God didn't really mean that you would die. What he really meant, that if you ate from this tree, you would be as wise as he is. Doesn't it look good? Just look how good it is. And if you eat it, you'll be as smart as God is. You'll know what God, you're not going to die. You'll know what God knows. And it was a lie straight from hell. And I'll remind you tonight that Satan is still lying. He is still telling untruths. He's still trying to lie to people how to be right with God. See, Eve, to be right with God, just needed to obey him. She needed to keep her hands off the fruit. And she was probably right. I mean, she shouldn't add it to the word of God. But if you don't look at something, you don't desire it. And if you don't desire it, you won't take it. She would have been a lot better off to keep her eyes on everything else that God had given her instead of the one thing that he told him to leave alone. And I'll tell you, I think we're not too different from her. We can look around and see everything that God has given us. All the good things as he's put in our life. And he says, hey, I made them for you to enjoy. And in the book of James, it says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. And we can look around in our life and see all the good things that God has provided for us. But what do? We look at the things that God said, hey, stay away from this because it'll lead you into sin. Don't get into this. Don't think about this. Don't go there. And what do? The very thing that God says leave alone are the things that we want. Why can't we just enjoy the good things that he's given us? Why do we have to go after the things and put ourselves in a position like Eve did that we're going to see something and desire it and know that it's wrong and know that God said leave it alone and take it anyway? Satan still lies to us today. He's still lying about how to get right with God. He's still saying, well, there's lots of ways to be saved. And that's why when I mentioned in Sunday school this morning about some of the things that were mentioned in the Sunday school lesson, I was thinking about what I was going to preach tonight. Satan is still telling those lies. He's still saying, hey, there's lots of ways to be saved. People are intolerant that says there's only one way. They're too narrow. They're too strict. And they're not kind. For them to stand up there and tell you there's only one way to heaven, they're narrow and intolerant and they should be silenced. Still lying. There's only one way to heaven. Again, I mentioned this morning, I think there'll be a lot of different labels in heaven, but they'll all come the same way through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Satan's still lying about how to get right with God. He'll say, well, we got to add baptism. Well, I think getting baptized is good, but I don't read anywhere in this Bible that you have to get baptized to get into heaven. He's still lying about, he'll say, hey, well, you got to do this, 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 and this. And as I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, if my eternal salvation was up to me, it would not be eternal. It would not be everlasting. I would blow it. And I love you all a bunch, but you would blow it too. And I'm glad that I do not have to depend on my goodness. I do not have to depend on my acts. I do not have to depend on hanging on. I depend on the one who died for me on Calvary and the blood that was shed and the price that was paid. That's what's going to get me into heaven. Not what I do. You say, preacher, you mean we can do whatever we want? No. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul asked in the book of Romans. No, 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 no. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And we can go into sin and we can be punished by God, but we're never going to quit being one of his children. You punish your children because they misbehave. They're still your kids. They don't lose their name. They don't lose their relationship. Well, I know sometimes you wish you could disown them, but they're yours. They are yours. And in the same way, when we become a member of the family of God, we belong to him. And there's nothing, 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 nothing that we can do to lose it. Grab a hold of that fact, rest in it. And just know that you are one of God's children. Now, Satan will still come after us, and he still lie to us. Still lie to us. I mean, he'll say, hey, well, you don't need to read the Bible. You don't need to come to church. You don't need any of that stuff. And I would just point you back in this book. If the one who built the ark, next week I'm preaching on the ark, and the week after that, I'm preaching on Moses and his, from ark to ark. I wish I could preach it tonight. I'm so excited. From ark to ark. But anyhow, you'll have to wait a couple weeks from that. But if the one who God used to build the ark and see the mighty power of God could end up getting drunk, if the one who killed Goliath and wrote most of the book of Psalms could commit murder and adultery, if the one who preached on Pentecost and saw 3,000 saved, another time preached and saw 4,000 saved, could come to the point where he could deny Christ, if a prophet could disobey God and run from God and have to be swallowed by a big fish for God could get his attention, and others that are in the book that I don't have time to mention tonight, Bible heroes, some of them included in Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith, if they could fall at the lies of Satan, then we better be careful and know that he's still lying today. And don't believe a word that he says. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he'll lie to us to get our joy, to get our peace, to get our victory. That's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because he has not changed in his character. Okay, number two, he has not changed in his goals. He has not changed in his goals. Has two goals. Very simple. First of all, he wants to take as many people to hell as he can. He wants everybody to go to hell. I mean, let's just be straight up about it. Satan would like every single person to go to hell. Every single person. That's his goal. Every single person. No exception. He don't care if you're religious. He don't care if you go to church. He don't even care if you get baptized. That's all fine. Just don't ask Jesus to be your Savior. He don't care if you read your Bible. He don't care if you pray. Just don't ask Jesus to be your Savior. And he'll do everything that he can to tell you that you can get to heaven some other way and that you don't need Jesus. And he'll just tell you over and over and, oh, here's another thing he'll say. Oh, you don't need to do it now. You got plenty of time. Plenty of time. You're still young. Just wait until you get old. You listen to me. Satan has been telling that lie from the beginning, and it's a lie. If you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved right now. You need to get saved tonight. Today's the day. Now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not next week, not next month. Right now. You're a sinner. The penalty for sin is separation from God. And Satan will tell you, you got all the time in the world to get right with God. We need to get right now. Right now. So he wants to take as many people as he can to hell with him. And then number two, if he's lost you to Christ, if you got saved, he wants to wreck your testimony. He wants to mess up your life. He wants to mess up your witness. He wants to make it so that when people look at you, they'll say, boy, if that's what being a Christian is all about, I don't want any part of it. He wants to make it so that when you give somebody a tract, that they won't pay any attention to it. He wants to make it that if you go as far as try to tell them about Christ, they'll slam the door in your face or spit and say, I don't want any part of it. I can remember when I got out of college, we were living down in Yip's Landing, and we were going to a church, and there was a man there named Russell Anderson. And he was in the drywall business, made a lot of money in the drywall business, had a bunch of apartments. And he was a coal miner from Kentucky and had a rough life, and then God saved him, and he sold out to God. So we were out knocking on doors one day trying to tell people about Jesus. And it was Brother Anderson's turn to do the talking, so he knocked at the door, and a guy came to the door, and you know, we introduced ourselves, told him what church we were from, and Brother Anderson asked him the question, hey, if you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? And the guy looked at him real close. He said, are you Rooster Anderson? That's what he was called before he got saved, Rooster Anderson. He said, are you Rooster Anderson? And Brother Anderson said, well, I used to be. And this guy said, I don't want anything to do with your God. I knew you back in the day. I don't want anything to do with your God. I want to listen to anything that you say. And Brother Anderson tried to tell him, you know, how his life was changed and how God converted him. And guy wouldn't have any, I mean, he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. That's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to get us to the point, and when we go out and try to tell somebody about Jesus, they won't listen to us at all. Won't listen to us at all. So he hadn't changed in his goals. Still wants to take as many people to hell as he can, still wants to mess up our testimony. And then, number three, he hasn't changed in his methods. Those things that he uses to get people to go to hell, and those things that he uses to mess up people's testimony. Okay? Now, I'm going to divide them into two groups. Those things that he uses to get people to go to hell. I'm going to put them under the category of blinding people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Right? If our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that don't know Christ. It's hid to the lost. And whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Let the light of the glorious power of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so what does he use to blind the people? What does he use to cover up the light of the world? Well, let me give you three things. First of all, he uses religion. He says, hey, you can work your way to heaven. You can join a church, you can get baptized, you can take communion, but don't get born again. And he'll blind them to the fact, or with the fact that, hey, you can get all caught up in religion and you can feel good about yourself, but you'll never know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nicodemus was a religious leader. He was a ruler. He was a Pharisee. He was among the elite back in his day. But there was something missing in his life. And by the way, if you're depending on religion to make you right with God, if you'll pay attention to the Holy Spirit, he'll help you see that there's something missing in your life. And he came to Jesus, and they began to talk, and Jesus went right to the heart of the issue. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. And of course, Nicodemus, well, how can that happen? How can I enter into my mother's womb again and be born the second time? And Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about believing in that one that was lifted up for you. I'm talking about you putting your faith in what I'm going to do on Calvary's cross. I'm talking about you believing in me. Nicodemus was a religious man, but there was something missing in his life, and he didn't find it until he came to Christ. Satan will use religion to blind us today. We'll think we're all okay because we're religious. You can be as religious as the most religious person that's ever lived and still die and go to hell and let religion blind you to the gospel. So he uses religion. He uses time. He uses time. He blinds us with time. Again, he'll say, hey, you got plenty of time. You don't need to do it today. Felix said to Paul when he was preaching to him, he said, go thy way. When I have a more convenient time, I'll become a Christian. Don't know if he ever did. There's not a more convenient time than right now. Not a more, and you've heard me say sometimes during the invitation, if you're not saved, the best chance that you have to get saved is right now. Because the next time your heart will be more calloused because you said no. The next time Satan will have you, the chains of sin wrapped around you a little bit tighter. And the next time it will be harder. And the most convenient time for you to get saved is right now, but Satan will blind us using the fact, oh, you got plenty of time. And then the third thing that he uses to blind us is our feelings. Some people say, I've had many people say to me, well, I want to get saved, but I don't feel nothing. Well, where in the Bible does it say you have to feel something? I mean, I think it's wonderful when somebody gets saved and they feel something. And I felt something when I got saved. I felt good. I felt clean. I was excited. I read a story this week about a man that stood up in church and got so excited about his salvation. He says, I'm saved all over. And there was a couple of his friends sitting a couple aisles away, and one of them leaned over to the other one and says, he's not saved all over. He can't hear. His hair's falling out. And he wears glasses. When I got saved all over. And I felt good. But you know what? It didn't matter how I felt. I was still saved. And I'm happy when people are happy when they get saved. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say that we have to feel one way or the other. It's a step of faith. It's trusting God. It's just doing what this book says. I mean, again, I think it's wonderful when you feel good after you get saved, but don't depend on your feelings. It's not a matter of feelings, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trust. So he'll use those things to blind us. And then here's some of the things, and I got to hurry, but here's some of the things he'll use to destroy our testimony. Number one, I got four of them. Number one, doubt. Doubt. I wonder if God's really going to keep his word. I wonder if God's really going to keep his promises. I wonder if God's really going to do what he said he would do in this book. You know what? I believe this book from cover to cover. I believe every promise in this book is true. I believe God has the power to keep every promise that he's made in this book, and he will do what he has said. You say, preacher, don't you ever doubt? Yeah, I doubt. I doubt. I try not to doubt too long. I wonder sometimes when God takes his time to work something out, if he really knows what's going on, if he's really going to keep his word. But I've never been disappointed. He's never lied to me. He's kept every promise. And if you're honest, you'll say the same thing. May not have worked when we wanted him to work, but he's kept every promise. Don't doubt him. Just know that if the answer hadn't come yet, it's not time for the answer to come yet. Don't doubt him. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Discouragement. He'll use discouragement to mess up our testimony. We'll get discouraged about something, and we'll let it show. I preached a sermon one time, and Bev got all over me after I preached it. And I said, the point of my message was, be a hypocrite. Just be a hypocrite. If you're sad and discouraged, put on a happy face. Don't let anybody know about it. Just be a hypocrite. I don't know if she didn't understand what I was trying to say or just didn't want me saying, don't be a hypocrite. But look, if you get discouraged and if you get down, people are going to see that and say, man, what kind of God does he have? Always walking around looking like his best friend or his cat died. I know, Judy, I know you love your cat. And amen to that. I don't like my cats. I can't get on that rabbit. I got to go. But look, you're walking around, and you got that sad look on your face, and you're discouraged, and you're down. Well, listen, God is still God. He's still in charge. Yeah, you may be going through the valley, and you may be going through the storm, but he knows what's going on. He's put you there for a reason. Just know that he's still working, and that he's got a plan, and he'll get you through. So if you don't feel like smiling, smile anyway. If you feel like crying, laugh. If you feel discouraged, sing. And remind yourself that God's still good. He's going to keep all his promises. He'll use division. Division. Division between husband and wife. Division between children and parents. Division between friends. Division between Christians. And this is what the world loves to see. They just love to see Christians that can't get along. They just love to see Christian families that can't get along. They just love to see brothers or sisters in Christ that can't get along. And it'll destroy your testimony. It'll destroy your testimony. That's why I like that verse in the Bible that says, as much as within you is, and I'm probably not quoting it right, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. And then number four, he'll use diversion. He'll get us so busy, even doing good things, that we'll fail to use the opportunities that he's given us to tell somebody about Jesus. We'll get tied up with everything that's going on around us. And by the way, Satan's a master at this. He can get you so busy with the things of life that we don't stay in this book, we don't stay on our knees, we aren't as sensitive to others that are around us that need something from God. We're busy. But we're too busy. And he'll use that to destroy your testimony. Now, one other thing hadn't changed. He's still headed for hell. He said, we read from the book of Isaiah, he'll be brought down to the pit, to the side of the pit of hell. And that's where he's headed. His destination has not changed. I mean, he knew where he was going. He's known for the past 2,000 years. And there's nothing he can do to change that. He knows that one of these days he's going to be tied up, cast into the pit for 1,000 years, And then he knows one day he's going to be cast in there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I hope there's nobody here tonight that's going to hell with him. Hope there's nobody here tonight that's going to spend an eternity in that place that was not prepared for us, but was prepared for him and his angels. Now, the only way you can avoid it is to know Jesus as your Savior. Only way. No other way. Just him. I'm sorry. I'm a narrow-minded, intolerant preacher when it comes on how to get to heaven. There's only one way. And Jesus is that way. You can't get there by doing good. You can't get there by being a member of a church. You can't get there by being baptized. All those are good things, but they don't get you to heaven. Only Jesus does. If you're here tonight and you don't know him, today's the day. Now's the time that you need to ask him to save you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you warn us about our enemy. And I pray that we would be sober, we would be vigilant, so that he won't get us. And I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, tonight would be the night they see their sin, they see the penalty for that sin, and they see what Jesus did, the price that he paid. And tonight they'll ask him to save them. Many Christians here, Father, again, look at our lives, help us to look at them. If there's something there that's not pleasing to you, help us to get rid of it. Oh, Holy Spirit, convict us tonight. Use us. We want to be usable for you. We want to be the kind of vessels that you can use in a mighty, mighty way. And so help us, Father, tonight. If there's something in our life that needs to be weeded out, help us to get rid of us. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.